On today's episode of Brad and Will, we're going to be talking about the first Rockets preseason game where they won 134-96. A lot of fun last night, so stay tuned and listen.
Welcome back to another episode of Brado and Will. I'm your first host, as always, Will. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston over there. Just last night, actually, we had the first space, post-game space for the new NBA season. So you want to tap in with post-game spaces, with content aggregation, whatever it is that you need as far as the Houston sports, particularly the Rockets go. We've got you covered over there. Pass off to Brad.
Yeah, I'm your other host, Brado. Of course, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at BradoNBA. Spaces went really well yesterday. Will was at the game. We had a good time. We're going to be back again this Friday with Spaces if you want to participate. And again, this is a new YouTube channel, so we appreciate you guys for listening. We'll keep this short and sweet, but we are doing a giveaway. If we get 250 subscribers, we'll be giving away tickets on Friday to that game, two Lower Bowl tickets. So if you're watching and you aren't subscribed, make sure to click that subscribe button. We really appreciate you. But for today's episode, again, man, that game yesterday was so fun. I know Will enjoyed being there. They won by 38 points. I don't remember the last time the Rockets won a game by 38 points, regardless of its preseason, regular season, I don't care. It was great to see them come out there and blow the Spurs out the water. So, Will, I'll start with you, man. Talk to me. Well, what are your thoughts on the game?
You brought up a pretty funny point. I was going to look up the last time we won by that big of a margin, but I'll go first while you – right, yeah, it's good. Yeah, so when I was at the game, like Brad said, and just quickly, Toyota Center wasn't like packed, but there was a really good turnout for a preseason game, right? Like the arena, there wasn't like too many empty seats. You had to like sit in your assigned seat. So it was a pretty good turnout. Everybody kind of pulled up, had a good time. It was really fun to get back into the arena and watch the Rockets play for the first time since I believe it was April. And it kind of didn't feel real at first, like just kind of seeing the guys play. Like it's been so long since we've seen them play, so it didn't feel real. But as about the actual game itself, I mean, I know there's a lot we need to get into. So I'll give like an overview and we can kind of break it down from there. But I thought that everybody played really well. I guess I would have wanted to see KPJ and Jalen be a little bit more efficient. But outside of that, I think everybody else, like I think it was a perfect game all the way around. Everybody else, you want to see them do in a preseason game just to get the season started. I thought Silas's rotations were pretty good. I thought that we showed a lot of effort on the defensive end. I thought that, the two steals of the show were Jabari and Tari looking like Jabari looking like he could be somebody who would be in the rookie of the year race, and then Tari looking like he would be the steal of the draft. That's my kind of quick overview. We can kind of go player by player and break it down from there. But Brad, what is your quick overview of the game?
My favorite thing from yesterday, the Rockets came out the gates and they're going to say this is going to be Alperen Şengün's show this year. So they made it known that it's going to be a 4-out-1-in system this year. Obviously, Şengün operating as that one guy who's going to be inside the paint. And they were getting the ball to him early and often. The spacing just looks so much better with Jabari out there. Christian Wood, you know, he's a good shooter last year, but he just plays a different game than Jabari. He demands a lot more on-ball attention. So they can just really focus on getting Şengün the ball and surround him by four shooters who just purely shoot the lights out. So you get to him in the post. He was screening on the high pick and roll. It was effective with Jalen. Even Jalen was coming off of his screens, and he just has shooting options everywhere. So it just helps everybody out there on the floor. He was efficient, 5 for 6 from the floor, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and he only played 20 minutes. So imagine if he's playing his 30 minutes tonight. He's going to be a star. He's 20 years old. He looked amazing in Turkey. He was my favorite part of the game. Outside of the Jabari, I mean, Jabari is obviously going to be everyone's favorite part of the game. Came out there with 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 threes, this pull-up jumper. Everything was just so pure. It was just really insane to me, but. Well, the first person I really wanted to touch on was Şengün. If you want to touch on him, go ahead. And then I know you were really impressed going off of yesterday's Spaces on Jalen Green's playmaking. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about that as well.
So I'll take the first one here. As I'm doing the math on the largest margin of victory for the Rockets recently, which was
it the Thunder last year?
Yeah, it was the Thunder last year at 33. That was our largest margin of victory. Earlier in 2021 against the Magic, I actually don't even remember this game. We won by 42. So that would be the most recent one. The Magic on January 8th, 2021. Let me click on the box score. Yeah, okay, let's see.
You're probably gonna have to meme my facial expression when you said that. 42 points.
I don't remember this game, but we won by 42 points on January 8th, 2021. This is I think James Harden hadn't been traded yet. James Harden was still here.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the box score. Hey, all right, Brian, let's play a quick game real quick. Who do you think scored the most points for the Rockets this night?
Boogie.
No, Boogie had 6 points. It was not Boogie. He had a bad game. He shot 1-for-7, 0-for-4.
Really quick, this is preseason? Preseason, right?
No, this is regular season. No, this is January. And I'll give you a hint. Okay. The starting lineup was James Harden, John Wall, PJ Tucker, Christian Wood, and David Nwaba. And the answer is one of those five players.
Who scored the most?
Who had the most points?
It wasn't PJ, I'd assume. Nope. It was
just actually well. Okay, let me tell you this. So it wasn't PJ, but PJ was tied for the second most.
Was it Christian?
Yes,
of course.
Christian Wood had 22-15 on 9-17. Actually, he was one of the great from beyond the arc. He was 1-5. But yeah, he had 22 points. James Harden had 15 and 13 assists. Good lord. John Wall at 14-4, PJ had 15, Nwaba had 6, and then off the bench, Ben McLemore went crazy. He was 5-5 from the three-point line with 15 points. And then Jayshon Tate was 5-5 from the field with 2 assists.
He was so good as a rookie. He was so good as a rookie.
You said when was the last time we won by a large margin? I had to go look it up, but yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah.
Completely different team now outside of Jayshon and EG. It's so crazy.
But you asked me about Jabari and Jalen, right? Or is it Shangoon? It was Shangoon and Jalen.
We're talking about, I guess they call it the Shangoon Hub, what they've been calling it on Twitter, the LP Hub. So they're pretty much operating through Albert Shangoon now. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. And then Jalen Green didn't have the best scoring night, 3-for-12 shooting, but the playmaking looked a lot better. And I know you were amazed by that, so I wanted to hear what you had to say.
So the Shangoon thing, we all know that he has like that Nikola Jokic, DeMontis Sabonis built, where like his IQ as a center, as a guy who's 6'9", 6'10", is like, even as a rookie, as a 20-year-old player now, like it's still the only guys I think have a higher IQ at that position are Nikola Jokic and DeMontis Sabonis. Like he easily has a top three IQ for a center in the league. And so going into this season, when we traded Christian Wood, the idea was that he would start. And the question from there would be, how is Shangoon going to be as a starter, right? When he started with us last year, it wasn't the same as when he came off the bench. He was like a stretch five, stretch four kind of guy when we started him last year because Christian Wood was still in the mix. And we didn't really like – we kind of didn't get the best asset of Alperen Shangoon when we started him last year, which is playmaking his passing. We didn't get to see that too much when he started last year until after Christian Wood went down, right? But so the question now was – what version of that are we going to see? Are we going to see the hub Shangoon, or we were going to see like Jalen Green and KPJ, like the James Harden, Chris Paul kind of thing, and like trying to relegate Shangoon to like a poor man's Clint Capella? They came out yesterday from the rip, and it was clear that the offense is, or at least for that preseason game, I don't know that's what it's going to be like for the actual season itself, but for that preseason game, when Shangoon was on the floor, the offense ran through him. Like they were giving him the ball at the top of the key, letting him or they're giving it to him in post-ups. Jabari's first bucket of the game came very early on, and it was because he relocated off ball and Shangoon just found him. And like stuff like that is only Shangoon can make, right? So they very off the rip were allowing him to be the hub. That was really shocking to me, was that there was no confusion. There was no, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that this year. Like, no, it's Shangoon. Like, you're going to, at least for stretches of the game, you're going to be the primary facilitator, which is kind of what I've always imagined with this team. When you don't have a traditional point guard in KBJ, and like Jalen Green's kind of more score first as well, having somebody like Alperen Shangoon who can kind of take on that playmaking load and allow those two guys to just be scorers and like be secondary playmakers which is what I think they excel at, is when they score first and play make second, and allowing him to be like his best asset is the fact that he's going to be able to find those guys in those tight windows that nobody else can see, allowing that to play out. I thought that was always what was going to be the best way our offense could run. And then you add in Jabari. Like I said, Jabari's first points last night came from Shingun. You add in somebody like that who's a knockdown shooter, which we're going to get into, obviously, but somebody who can't leave open. And he showed last night that he had a couple of points last night just moving off ball, right? And so he's shown us that he's willing to kind of cut and catch the defense falling asleep. And when you have a guy like Shingun who's going to find you every single time, it's going to be great. And that's going to say on Shingun too is, and I said Christian Wood's my guy, but the one thing that you noticed when Christian Wood was the starting center for us these last two seasons is, I'm not going to say guys were reluctant to give Christian Wood the ball, but people, you knew that if you gave Christian Wood the ball, either you need to go like stand in the corner or go get ready for the rebound because he's probably not going to pass it. Or like if he is, he's going to get right to back at the top of the key. But if Christian Wood starts getting into like post-up attack mode, he's not passing the ball. Guys know that if you play with Shingun, I can give you the ball. And if I keep moving, if I keep cutting, if I get open, he's going to find me. And like you posted the highlight today, Brad, that I think was really interesting, where Shingun was posting up on Jakob Poeltl and he kind of faked him out. And what led to Poeltl being faked out when Shingun was posting up on him was the fact that KPJ was driving. He was rolling cutting. To the basket. He was cutting to the basket. And when you have a guy like Shingun who can make those, who not only can, but will make those passes, one, KPJ knows I can pass the ball here because I don't have to worry about getting it back. If I cut, I'm open, he's going to find me. And then for the defense, like, what do you do? Do you go guard KPJ cutting to the basket, or do you focus on Shingun who, where that play ends, Shingun just scores. So, that's my thoughts on that. And then for Jalen, the biggest thing for Jalen, I think not even just this year, but for the rest of his career, what's going to make him, I think, take him from like a guy who's a really good scorer, who can score, into like this guy might be a top 10, 15, like one of the best players in the NBA. So I'm going to be modest and say top 15, but I mean, I think he'd be better than that. But what's going to take him from just being a good scorer to one of the best in the game is that separation on the playmaking side, right? We know he can score. We know Jalen Green's a bucket. He dropped 41 in his rookie season, and he made it look effortless, right? So, like, we know Jalen Green, when he gets it going, he's going to be one of the best scorers in the NBA, and you can't stop him at all. But what's going to make him completely, like, unstoppable on that end of the court is if he can get himself going and get his teammates going. And he showed last season that he was a better playmaker than people gave him credit for. What I saw from him last night was someone who's a lot more comfortable playmaking. He was getting into the lane and getting dump offs. He had that one really nice pass to Jabari in the corner. He was throwing like some hard bounce passes, like he just stuff like that you didn't really see him do last year. He was doing. It doesn't always result in assists, but it's finding those cracks and seams in the defense that, you know, you may not get a bucket out of it, but you might get an open shot in the corner from it, right? I was really impressed with Jalen's decision making in the playmaking, particularly like in the pick and roll and when he was driving. I think the next step for him and KPJ is they seem to start really getting like the pick and roll and how to like find those cracks when they're in the paint or they're driving the lanes, finding the open big. What I want to see next is them start being able to find the open shooter off the drive, like driving and kicking. And I think if they can get those two things down, finding the roll man, find the big man down low and then the dunker spot, and then finding the open shooter off the dribble, it's over.
I wanted to touch on that because at least 5 minutes ago, that was going to be my exact point. I was going to highlight a play, Jalen using the pick and roll with Shingun. Obviously, the other three guys are spread out as shooters. Jalen was dribbling up the court, passed it to Shingun. You remember when Shingun dumped it between his legs. Jalen got it. They ran a pick and roll. The play ended with Jalen Green getting blocked. But I'm going to post it on Twitter tomorrow. If Jalen, he started to get double teamed when he was passing into the lane. He could have kicked it out to EG. You know how EG is usually at the wing, and he's like 3 or 4 feet behind the arc. EG was fourth in the NBA shooting threes at 27-plus feet. So he makes those threes, and he was camped out there wide open. If Jalen Green is going to make that pass, if he's getting the defense to collapse like that, EG is going to knock that down. And that transitions to my next point. Eric Gordon, I know a lot of people want him traded, but he is so important to the development of every young player on this team. Like just from a spacing perspective, anything you could think of, this team doesn't have a single veteran. The second oldest guy is Jayshon Tate on the roster, in my opinion, all right, not in my opinion, but that's in the rotation. If am I wrong, Will? He's the only other guy that's like 25, 26 in the rotation. Yeah, Eric Gordon
and Tate. That we saw last night. It was just so Tate didn't play yesterday, but he's I think he's gonna be 27 if he's not already. And right. then yeah,
Garrison Gordon. Might be the only other guy that's a little closer.
No, Garrison, I think he's like I'll look it up real quick, but I think he's 25.
My point being that Eric Gordon is really the only veteran on the team. So just having him out there helps these young guys that much more. And the spacing is just insane. And if you really pay attention, he is really money on that right wing. So there's a play yesterday where he was driving. He got it on a fast break. Defense thought he was going to pull up there because that's his hot spot, but instead he took it into the lane and almost got an and-one layup. But Eric Gordon, he's spectacular. I'm happy that they kept him around. I wouldn't mind if they traded him. But people don't need to just be like, trade Eric Gordon, trade Eric Gordon, trade Eric Gordon. Because he really does help all the guys on the team, especially Shangoon, Jalen, KPJ, anyone that just needs spacing to thrive. EG is definitely helping every single one of them. But outside of EG, another person I did want to touch on, Will, I know you touched on Tari earlier in the game, but from a rotational standpoint, you have Tari, you have KJ. Well, how do you see that matching up? It's going to be difficult. Usman might be out of the mix after we saw Bruno. It's our first time talking about this, but Bruno just signed a new deal, 4 years, $10 million. And he played good in that game yesterday against the Spurs. So I guess I want to talk to you about the log jam for the backup minutes. Like, who do you think is going to get those minutes? So we've only obviously seen one game against probably the worst team in the NBA. But what are your thoughts on, who's going to get those backup minutes? And before you answer, really quick, before the game, I was envisioning, Jay Sean's going to be backup three. If KJ's here, they probably do have to go with KJ instead of Tari. I'd love to see Tari play day one, but I'm assuming it'd probably be KJ from day one. If the five, I was thinking Garuba or Tari. But now it's looking like Bruno's going to get that five spot. So I wanted to see what you thought, Will.
I'll talk about the most recent news was the Bruno contract, because I thought he was going to be a two-way guy. And that like he was just going to stay on that, but they gave him a guaranteed contract for this season. So one, that means somebody else is going to have to either be traded or waived to make room for him. So I'm assuming that Favors and his $10 million year contract isn't going to be going anywhere anytime soon. So I think unless they're planning to trade KJ, I think Boban might be the one who gets snuffed here. I don't know how you keep all these guys. So.
Yeah,
but there was that. But to me, when I saw that extension, the first thing that came to mind, I wouldn't even think about that. The first thing that came to mind was, I don't think they do this if they were just going to put him as a third string center on the bench. Because, like, you could just keep him at two-way. Yeah. That was the point. I think this means that they, and you kept hearing it too. All you heard all summer from the media and the bloggers and the reporters was that Bruno was having a really good summer. And, that was something we had been hearing coming into media day and training camp. And I guess he had a really good training camp as well. I guess Bruno's going to be the backup five this year, which going off of yesterday's game, like I said, it's just preseason, but I really, really enjoyed him watching him yesterday, right? He's not like a crazy backup five. He's not going to be like, I assume it's probably going to be his last year in Houston. Just cause I imagine that we're going to try to improve the roster a lot more next season than Bruno. But as far as a rebuilding team goes, I was really impressed with him yesterday, as I was a lot with him last season when he got actual rotation minutes. But what stood out to me the most was his chemistry with KPJ. And that's one thing we can touch on later, too, is KPJ's improvement as a playmaker and as a point guard. But one of the things that really stood out to me was in that pick and roll situation, KPJ was finding Fernando consistently. I think three of his – I think he had six assists yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, Brett.
He did, yep, six assists.
And I want to say three of them were to Fernando. And it was just him finding him in the pick and roll just rolling. And, we all know how deadly the pick and roll is. And if you're a point guard, how being able to navigate that, how important that is for you. A lot of those points – a lot of those assists came from just KPJ finding him rolling. He threw him two lobs. I've been pretty, vocal about – if you give KPJ a consistent lob threat, that unlocks his game even more. That's why I was extremely frustrating that Christian Wood did not set screens and roll to the basket, because I'm KPJ and Christian Wood could rack up 10 points a night just throwing lobs that way. I love seeing that Fernando was was setting hard screens and rolling to the basket, and KBJ was comfortable finding. I guess that chemistry was there. And one thing I do, if it's looking like it's going to be him, which I kind of want it to be Usman Garuba at first, but I'm not – it is what it is. I'm not too upset if it's Fernando. If that's what it's going to be for this season, I hope Silas does stagger KBJ a lot with Fernando. Like I think that makes a lot more sense. Let Jalen kind of play with Shingun a little bit more, and let I think Jabari and Fernando should run with KBJ a lot more. And yeah, like letting him have that lob threat and then the pick and pop threat with Jabari, I think that's going to like KBJ's game a lot. And then your next question was the Tate, KJ, Garrison Matthews, Eric Gordon, Tari, like it's a legit mess.
Yeah, that front court logjam is different. It's different. Yeah.
It's a mess, and like that's why I mean, I know you said you didn't want to trade Eric Gordon, but like that's part of the reason why I want Gordon traded is so we can like that's one more name we don't have to worry about as far as like figuring out this rotation. I can confidently say, like you said, that Gordon's going to be the starter this year. I'm pretty confident that's going to be the case, at least until he's traded and or shut down for the season. And then I'm very confident Jayshon Tate initially is going to have the backup 3 minutes. As the season progresses, that might change. And who has like the backup 4 minutes behind Jabari? That could be KJ. It could be Tari. I don't know. It might be Tate, and they might run Garrison Matthews as the backup 3. Like, I don't know. Like, one thing that stood out to me, too, and I don't want to talk too much, but like they gave Deshaun Nix an actual like role yesterday. Like I think he's gonna be back at point guard. So I don't know, man. We're gonna have to see, I guess, against the Raptors, and then you know when the season actually starts, what they're actually gonna start doing. Because I mean, we saw a lot yesterday.
Yeah, I will highlight one play. Deshaun Nix came up the floor. They came up and they set two picks at the top of the key, the center and the power forward. He went to the left and had the reverse layup on the right side. That was beautiful. Drew the and one.
Yeah.
The thing that frustrates everyone about Deshaun Nix. Can't make free throws. He got the and one, missed the free throw. But the Rockets as a whole shot 12 for 22, I believe, and I'll double check. 12 for 22.
I want to say
free throw line. And I want to say 54%. But go ahead.
And I said, didn't KPJ? He made both of his free throws yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, KPJ was 2 for 2, and he was frustrating last year from the line.
Which is, yeah, well, I was happy to see him. I mean, he was just two. It was just two, but I was happy to see him make both of them. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nobody missed a lot of free throws. It's just a lot of players just missed two free throws, and they didn't have a lot of attempts. But as a whole, the Rockets, they're going to have to be a better free throw shooting team, because I'd assume they're going to be able to this year, of course, than last year. And last year they had, I want to say, 11 games that were decided by 3 or fewer points. It may not be 100% true, but it's around 10 or 11 games. So free throws are going to play a big factor this year if they're going to be in close games. And I'm hoping they're able to knock down their free throws. But, yeah, Deshaun Nix, he could play a little better. He impressed me a little more than he did in the summer league, I will say. But I was talking about this backup situation. It's just going to be interesting because for Usman, you know, Usman had a great summer with Spain. He really showcased everything that he showcased last night. You know, he didn't score, and I care less if Usman Garuba scores. I do. He's going to be setting screens everywhere on the court, getting a lot of rebounds, playmaking pretty well, and rim protecting has gotten a lot better. He had two nice blocks yesterday, so 7 rebounds. So solid outing from Usman. And then you also got KJ, and Will, I want to ask you about this because this is a really good question. KJ Martin, most people would just tell you, yeah, he's not bought in. No, they don't even need to play him. Don't worry about him. KJ wants at least 20 minutes tonight. What I saw from KJ yesterday, I was extremely impressed. You know, it's the same thing we've always seen from KJ. He's been on the Rockets for 2 years now, going into year 3. The same KJ Martin. Rockets fans love KJ Martin before this news broke out. And if he's playing this year, they're going to still love him. Just what he brings to the floor, high energy. He runs the floor, which is perfect for this young core. He looks really good playing next to Tari. He's just active. He's a great fit next to a lot of guys, especially if he's able to knock down three-point shots at a 35% clip like he did last year on the three-point catch and shoot. So it's just going to be interesting. But I will say this. If him and Tari are just like running into each other and you're going to play one or the other, I feel like Tari, regardless of who's in front of him, and Will, you probably agree with me here, it's a Josh Christopher situation from last year. You know, Josh was supposed to be in the G League, and Rafael Stone talked about this. He didn't expect Josh to come on, you know, to the roster that soon, you know, get a role by December. They just had to play him. They were forced to play him. That's what's going to happen with Tari. Tari just runs around out there, and he's getting buckets. They don't run any plays for him. He just goes out there, and he gets a bucket. He did the same thing in Summer League. He did it yesterday against the Spurs. 21 points, extremely efficient. I think he had a 73 true shooting percentage. 10 rebounds. He had 4 double-doubles in the summer league. Came out and got a double-double in his first game in the NBA. 2010, first game in the NBA. They're going to be forced to play him. I don't care who's in front of him. And if that's the case, if they feel that way, they're not just going to bench KJ. I think that's a scenario where they probably will trade KJ Martin. And if Tari keeps this up, they might just have to trade KJ Martin, because there's no way you could play Jayshon, KJ, Tari, Bruno, Usman. Yeah, so you got to remove pieces from the puzzle. You can't keep everybody in the rebuild, even though I personally like KJ Martin, the basketball player. But, Will, I'm assuming you feel the same way in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer to keep KJ. Like I said, the guy I want gone is Gordon. And if we get rid of Gordon, we can just move everybody up a spot. I guess Tate would be the starter then, if it's not Garrison. But getting rid of Gordon.
I was going to say, in the event that it's Garrison, it's kind of like a similar – because, like, I know we talked about this previously, so I bring this up. If EG is traded – for like you said before or previously, maybe not on the show, but you said, hey, I'd be enticed to start Garrison because he kind of plays a similar role as Eric. So that kind
of
puts us
– It would be one of Tate. Because I think Garrison's going to play no matter what. I think right. Garrison's going to – I think he's going to be the back on the bench, right? So if Gordon traded, I'm okay with starting Tate or Garrison. I probably would be more inclined to start Garrison, but it doesn't really matter to me. But if one of those two guys are starting, that's, you know, more wing minutes for somebody else on the bench. So I don't know. That would be my preferred outcome, is to trade Eric Gordon to, you know, get a first round pick for him, get the minutes to the young guys. But I don't think that's going to happen before the trade deadline at this point. I think you hit the head on the nail when you said I think Tari is going to force his way into the rotation. You said he was amazing yesterday. You took a lot of the points I was going to make. You don't draw plays for Tari Eason. You don't like draw set plays for him, and he just finds a way to impose his will on the game. And like I think that he was really good on like both ends of the floor. Imposing his will. Scoring, you know, just kind of forcing his way into the paint, getting those buckets. It was also just like being disruptive on the defensive end. And then like grabbing, you said it was 10 rebounds, right? So like he got a double double. He was able to like impact the game by crashing the boards. And one thing that I did say, I do want to touch on Jabbar before we end the show, but like one thing I tweeted out a while ago was like, I would have killed for Tari Eason and Jabari Smith to play with James Harden. I think like those two guys were what we were missing in 2018, 2019. If we had players like that who, you know, 6'8", 6'10", imposed their will on both ends of the floor, knocking open jumps. I mean, Tari's jumps are still a work in progress, but I think he was 1-for-2 yesterday. That's what it was, 1-for-2.
From where?
From 3. I think it was 1-for-2.
Yeah, he was just 1-for-2. He had that one off the glass.
Yeah, and it was a bank shot. But like, yeah, man, I would have killed for guys like that. So I think that Tari Eason, sooner than later, it may not be like game one, but like for sure before the trade deadline, if this is what we can expect to see from just going out there and find, like if he does what Josh Richardson, just finding a way to be impactful, no matter if he's playing 10 or 20 minutes a night, it's going to be really hard for him to not get minutes. But then, like I said, that kind of goes back to my previous point, though, about the Fernando getting his contract guaranteed. We have to get rid of somebody now. So, like, if KJ Martin is hinting to the organization that he doesn't want to be there, there was the discussions that, like, he really wasn't around in the summer. If KJ is saying he doesn't really want to be there and we just gave Fernando this contract, like, maybe it's KJ. Maybe KJ's the one who's going to go find a different team to play for next season. And if that's the case, I think that it gets – I mean, I still don't think Tari's minutes are guaranteed if KJ's going, but I think it's a lot easier to play him. If KJ's gone. So I don't know. Those are kind of my thoughts on that whole logjam situation.
Yeah. A few things I did want to touch on, and we can close with both talking about Jabari because he was the star of the show yesterday. We did have 12 minutes of Ty Washington yesterday. He came in, had 8 points. And, you know, the entire offseason, we, you know, after the summer league, you know, we want to play Ty over Deshaun Nix. That's the consensus for most Rockets fans. It looks like Deshaun's most likely going to get that role, that backup point. But looking at Ty Washington, again, played 12 minutes yesterday, knocked down a three, and I really love his jump shot, really pure, 35% college. And that's going to, you know, be helpful to get into the rotation for the Rockets. But I thought he had a really good feel for the game yesterday. Will, what were your thoughts on Ty?
I mean, I didn't get to see enough of Ty Ty to like form an opinion on him. But I think he was good in his minutes. I don't think he was bad. Like I think he played well in his short role. It was against the third stringers of the worst team in the NBA, maybe. But
yeah.
The one thing I didn't quite understand with Silas's rotation yesterday was like I think he subbed Ty Ty in either like late in the second quarter or something like that, and then like benched him immediately. Like he got in for like a minute and then went back to the bench. I'm like, I don't know what he's supposed to do in a minute, but he played, I believe, the entire fourth quarter and a good chunk of the last minutes of the third quarter. So,
correct.
I mean, like I said, he looked good to me. I don't have enough like data on him to like necessarily say which way I sway him or Knicks just yet. But I mean, it's looking like they prefer Knicks, so that's where we're at.
Yeah, they're gonna probably end up playing Dejan. So I'm excited to see in the remaining preseason games how Dejan looks, or if Dejan's looking kind of wishy washy, they'll probably throw in Ty Ty, see what he's doing. But it looks like Ty Ty's going to get those G League minutes, which is going to be helpful to him. The Rockets have a good G League system. Any point guard they send down there excels. So it's no big deal if he's down there. But last thing I wanted to touch on, we had to talk about the number three pick in the draft, Jabari. What surprised me the most, we both knew this coming in to this debut and when we drafted him. On the very first episode of Brad and Will, Will and I both said Jabari Smith before the draft. We said he's the best fit for the Houston Rockets because he plays great defense and he shoots the lights out. It's going to be great for the spacing. We both said this episode. And that's what we saw last night. What surprised me was the volume that he did it at. Will tweeted out maybe less than a week ago, who should be the third option on the Rockets? I think most people said Operant Şengün and maybe Jabari.
Yeah, he Şengün won by like less than like 50 votes. Like he barely won.
Yeah, so looking at this yesterday, Jabari led the team in shooting and field goals, led the team in scoring, everything like that. But what's crazy, he wasn't really a quote-unquote scoring option. He was just a guy that they were finding, and he's just pulling up, getting easy buckets. When he's a scoring option, that's when they're going to be finding him in the post, which they didn't even utilize last night. He has an insane mid-range game, a great post game. There wasn't like same thing with Tari. No plays really ran for him. Jabari, similar kind of thing. Just give him the ball, get him his buckets. So it was just great to see Jabari that, especially after the summer league when he shot 26% from three and everyone. Well, not everyone, but you have people out here speculating if he can actually shoot. Why does it look flat? Why does it look different than it looked at in Auburn? Guys, stop. It's like the same thing when I said Kevin Porter Jr. shot 48.2% last year on catch and shoot threes. Jabari Smith shot 57.1% when he was uncontested last year and 37.2% when he was contested from three. 42.6% total. He's a catch and shoot threes here. He was going to be able to knock down a shot regardless. So we saw it yesterday, and that's just going to be so important for this team. He's perfect guy for this Rockets roster, and they're just going to grow together. And just him being on the roster alone as a swap from Christian Wood really makes them that much better. And it's really it's great to see. I don't know how many more wins they'll get. 22-60 last year. I could see them messing around getting 30 wins. Maybe that's just me being optimistic after a 38-point win against the worst team in the NBA. But, Will, what do you think? I'll say this. Everyone was very excited about Jabari yesterday. What was the most what impressed you the most? I guess that's what I'll say.
I said this in the space yesterday, but what impressed me the most with Jabari was I hate to do it, but we got to. The contrast between him and Christian Wood,
yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying they play the same, but they're kind of both occupying somewhat of the similar role. Like Christian Wood, like kind of be on the perimeter more than on the interior, and that's kind of what Jabari is kind of on the offensive end. They're both guys who get rebounds, but like what stood out to me like initially, so this in the space, but like yet last year when Christian Wood got the rebound, he didn't look for the outlet pass to the guard. Right, he got the rebound, he's going in transition, and if he passed, it's because like his line to the basket got cut off. All right, here you go, Jaylen, here you go, KPJ. Jabari, when he got the rebound yesterday, he grabbed, he secured, he must have like a dribble or two to like, you know, advance a little bit, make sure the ball is like, you know, safe. But as soon as he was like still, you know, in the backcourt, as soon as he was like ready and available to give the ball to one of the guards, he gave it to him. And I said this in the special, I think that's when our offense is at the deadliest, right? Because No one can stop Jalen Green in transition. It's going to be very hard to stop Kevin Porter Jr. in transition. Like, these guys are super duper fast. They can finish around the rim. They can, you know, sag off a little bit too much. They can drain the open shot. Like, those guys are going to be really difficult to stop transition. We talk about how, like, the take foul is going this year. So, like, getting the ball to our guards quickly and letting them just go, it's going to be like, that's going to be one of our easiest plays of offense this year. And Jabari recognizes that. He just recognized, hey, like, my job is not to grab the rebound and go the length of the floor, step back three. You know, like, that's not his job. His job is to just be the best Jabari Smith. So when he gets the rebound, he's finding the guards. He's getting it to them, and he's going to get into his position that, you know, if the ball's going to come his way on the offensive end. And then the play that stood out to me just the absolute most was I can't remember who it was who gave him the outlet pass, but we got a rebound and he's kind of running up the court. They give him the outlet pass. And I'm thinking to myself at this point, I'm like, is he going to pass this ball here? Like, what is he about to do? Because Jabari's, you know, the weakness of his game was the shot creation, right? So I didn't know, like, what is he about to do? Like, is he about to pass this ball? Is he going to take this guy out of the dribble? Is this going to be like a tragic Bronson kind of situation? I don't know what's going to happen. And I said last night, it looked like Kevin Durant. He walked into his shot and squared up and pulled it. And it was nothing but net. And, like, to me, I was like, oh, like, if he's going to be doing stuff like that this season, it's going to be a long season for the opposing team. Like, I did not think he was going to be this soon into the NBA, like, pulling that shot with that much confidence. But, I mean, he did it yesterday, and it was nothing but net. Go ahead.
All right, actually, no, finish your point, because I was just going to touch on that next play.
I think sometime shortly afterward, he had, like, a step back three kind of. Yeah, so, like, I'm like, bro, I didn't know he was going to be doing that this soon. I knew he was capable, and I knew that, like, he could be a good shooter, but, like, I didn't think that he was going to have, one, just the confidence to do it this soon. But then, like, yeah, I actually, it was just the confidence. It's like, I didn't know he was going to be, like, starting at this foundation level of, like, I can do this, right? You can't stop me, right? Now, it was against the Spurs, but, like, he's going to get that jump shot off at 6 and 6-11 all day, every day, no matter who's guarding him. And that's the last thing I'll say about Jabari. I said this yesterday, but, like, what I saw from Jabari yesterday, it was preseason, and it was against the worst team in the NBA, so I don't think he's going to be putting up 21, and I think it was 8 on 15 shots every single night. Like, if he does that, he's rookie of the year. But yeah,
for sure.
But I don't think he's going to be doing that every single night. I think there's going to be nights where he's going to have some off nights. There's going to be some nights where he doesn't get 15 shots. There's going to be some nights where, it's not going to be the same thing. But what I saw from him yesterday, I think, is extremely scalable. He didn't do nothing crazy. Like, this isn't like a Michael Carter Williams NBA debut where he's, like, dropping off D Wade and LeBron James and, you know, hitting up and unders, you know, like, looking like an MVP. Like, he didn't. It wasn't that. It was, bro, he just, when the ball got to him, he shot it and he made it. And on the defensive end of the floor, we didn't really touch on this, but, like, that dude is completely disruptive on the defensive end. Like, he's everywhere. Like, everywhere with his 6'10", I think he's a 7'2 wingspan. He's
6'11 now. 6'11 now.
Oh, they shortened it?
Or 6'11.
Oh, his height. His height.
His height, yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah. 6'10", 6'11", 7'2". Like, yeah. He's everywhere defensively. So, like, I saw from him, too, was he was disruptive no matter who was in front of him, whether it was a guard, a big, whatever. He was finding a way to impact the game on both ends of the floor. And to me, like, that's not going nowhere. Like, he's not going to magically forget how to play defense when the season starts. And, like I said, he wasn't, like, taking shots. I mean, he had the one shot off the dribble, and he had the one kind of, like, step back three kind of thing. But, like, other than that, most of his shots are just rhythm jump shots that he got off of the gravity of Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., and Al Pershing, which, by the way, my guy, Kevin Porter Jr., with that, I think it was a right-handed pass, left-handed pass? I don't know.
When he Will.
Go ahead. Yeah, take it away.
Yeah, so my man, KPJ, in the corner, he was mixing the guy in front of him.
It was Jeremy Sohan, by the way.
Jeremy Sohan,
who's a good defender.
Who had two blocks in the span of in 10 seconds in last night's game. Great defender at Baylor. He's going to be a really good rookie. But KPJ was on him. Mixing him up. Throws a dart offhand, one-handed, all the way across court to Jabari. Best pass I've ever seen him make. If you haven't seen it yet, please check it out. Cross court in the half court, threw about three defenders, wide open to Jabari, who hit the three. That was the most beautiful pass I've ever seen him make. Magic Johnson-esque. Will, I'll let you take it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, most of Jabari's points last night came from stuff like that. Like, there was the KBJ pass. Gordon gave him one, and I know Jalen gave him one. And then I think that Şengün had a couple of, like, just finding him. Like, I know his first points came from Şengün, finding him cutting. I had a couple points like that, just cleaning stuff up.
He had 3 points like that, too. So the other point he had was from an alley-oop.
Yeah, I was saying, KJ threw him a lot.
And then there was one play where Jabari missed a corner 3. LP got the rebound, gets it right back off to Jabari, and had a nice little right-handed layup. But yeah.
And stuff like that, like, that's scalable. Nothing he did was crazy. Like, that's something you can do in the regular season. I think what we saw from Jabari yesterday was, I'm not going to say 21 points, 8 rebounds is his floor, but, like, his floor is a really good shooter and a really good defender. And, like, that's a really high starting point to his game. And, like, he's already a really good player. If he adds anything else to his game, we're talking about one of the best players in the NBA. So I'll pass it off by saying, I don't think he's going to give us 21 and 8 every single night, but if that guy can give us 15 points, about 7-8 rebounds, 2 assists, good efficiency, good defense, he's going to find himself in that rookie of the year conversation somehow, some way. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely say this. Jabari, him and Bancaro, that's going to be a really fun rookie of the year race. If they care about defense the way they were preaching all last year, you know, Jalen Green doesn't play defense, this and that. Jabari Smith definitely does. So I don't want to hear anything about that. And he better be in that rookie of the year race. It better be close to, based on what we saw from yesterday. But most importantly, Will, what we saw in last night's game was not an ordinary Rockets game. KPJ and Jalen Green combined for, 6 for 21 from the floor. Yeah. None of them were in double digits, and they still won by 38. So, obviously, those are your number 1 and 2 options. So, I'm looking forward to, and we're going to talk about this next game. It's the last thing I want to touch on. What I'm looking forward to against the Raptors is seeing what the Rockets' offense is really going to look like. It looked good yesterday, but when these guys are both cooking, Jalen, because he's going to be leading scorer on the team, he should be, and KPJ might be number 2. So, I want to see what it looks like when these two guys are the number 1 scorers on the team and how everybody kind of works off of that. But that's what I'm going to be most excited about. This team just has a lot of guys that can just go out there and get a bucket. 5 guys in double figures. And again, Jalen or KPJ weren't one of those 2. So, or one of those 5. So it's going to be fun watching these guys, these random people running around getting buckets, specifically Tari Eason. Will, what do you think about that, though? Just KPJ, Jalen, none of them scoring in double figures, combined for 6 for 21. I'm assuming against this Raptors defense. Then Miami, the next game, and Indiana is the last preseason game, I believe. In either of those 3 games, I'm sure we'll get a flash of, okay, yeah, Jalen is that guy who took a scoring lead. But what do you think about them having an off game and what the offense really would look like when they are those 1 and 2 guys?
I was okay with it. Like, I'd rather them have the off night scoring and show what they showed us from the playmaking perspective, for them to have a good scoring game and look like the same playmakers from last year. Like, yeah, I know those guys can get buckets. I know that Jalen Green dropped 41 in his rookie season. You know what I'm saying? It was like 7 consecutive games of 30 or more. Like,
it was 5. The longest streak since Allen Iverson.
Okay, it was 5.
Yeah.
Jalen's, he's a bucket, bro. Like, I'm not concerned about him having an off night at all. And then if there's one thing that we don't have to worry about with KPJ, is the fact that he can score. So, like, those guys having an off night to me doesn't bother me. I was more so happy with the fact that they were showing leaps and, like, improvement as playmakers, which, like, I think is the most important part for them this season. And then against the Raptors, man, I'm just looking for a good game again. I think that this time we're going to see them against a team that has playoff aspirations. So it's not the Spurs who are throwing out the worst rotation lineup in the NBA. Like, the Raptors somewhat care about winning a championship this year. I don't think they will, but they want to be in that playoff pursuit. They're going to check out, like, a preseason game, not like the same intensity of like a regular season game, but they're still going to, like, it's going to be a lot harder than it was against the Spurs. So I want to see how we respond to a team that has some sort of aspirations other than Victor Wembanyama. I don't know. Let's see how they do again. And on top of that, the Raptors also have a really good defense too. So, like, we're going to see now, like, we were Jabari and Tari, they were scoring 21 against, you know, the worst of the worst. Let's see if they can do it against some of the best defenders in the entire NBA. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. They clamped up Jalen last year. They ended that streak, as you mentioned. So this will be fun to watch. That's what I wanted to touch on for today's episode. Will, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, that's it for me. It was a great game. Like I said, I'm ready for the Raptors game.
Yeah, at the time of this episode, we're a few minutes away from the Brooklyn Nets preseason opener. We got to see what Ben Simmons looks like. Hopefully terrible, so these Pistons come back looking good for the Rockets. But Will and I are both about to tune into that, so we appreciate you guys for listening again. I'll mention it one more time. We are doing a giveaway at 250 subscribers for the preseason game against the Raptors on Friday. If we do hit 250, we will message one of you guys and one of the subscribers. Check our Twitter page, and we'll shout out a winner and get you guys your tickets. But again, appreciate you guys for listening. Of course, you can always find me at BradoNBA on Instagram and Twitter. All your favorite stats, highlights, all that good stuff. Same stuff as always. And that's it for me today. Will, go ahead and plug your stuff.
And for me, y'all know it's Bias Houston, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. We appreciate you guys continuing to show support on the new YouTube channel, the new podcast. Appreciate you guys tuning in every it's later Monday this time, not Monday morning, but we appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure you guys continue to subscribe, leave comments, you know, give us some feedback, let us know what you like and what you don't. And yeah, man, we'll see you guys next Monday.
All right, peace.